This is Jordan Seculo. Today on Jay Seculo Live, the U.S. Surgeon General warns America, prepare for your Pearl Harbor moment. We'll talk about that today on Jay Seculo Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live.
I've talked to many of these governors, and here's what I would say to them right now. The next week is going to be our Pearl Harbor moment. It's going to be our 9/11 moment. It's going to be the hardest moment for many Americans in their entire lives. And we really need to understand that if we want to flatten that curve and get through to the other side, everyone needs to do their part.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
We have tremendous talent working. We have tremendous people. And that includes governors. That includes everybody. Everybody's working. But unfortunately, we're getting to that time when the numbers are going to peak. And it's not going to be a good-looking situation.
And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
So as you heard from the president, but also from our nation's Surgeon General, that this will be our generation's, for most of us, our Pearl Harbor moment, September 11th, like September 11th for some who are younger. But instead of it being at one location, it'll be nationwide. Now, there's kind of conflicting news today because there's good reports, at least potentially good news, that in some of the highest peaking areas that we may be reaching that peak level and the curve could start to go trend downward. Now, we also know that when the curve trends down, it's still it trends from a high point and it trends down slowly. So when you do that and you start sliding down, you're still experiencing a number of new cases and a lot of fatalities that go with that, because you don't just peak and it stops. You peak and you have to go back down the hill. And then in other areas of the country, this is probably more like later in the week. So again, and then some are even preparing for into May. So there's questions about that. But nationwide, I think that what these leaders are trying to prepare us for, both our President of the United States and the Surgeon General, is for a pretty big spike in the number of people who die from this. And they're saying it's this week, around midweek, where we could experience a day where there's as many people or more that die in one day than that died on the September 11th attacks.
Yeah, so basically what the president has done, and that was also with the coronavirus task force, if you watch the press release yesterday, what they focused in on, and I think this is the key, was preparing the American people for what looks like it will be a big number of people that will fatalities from the virus. Now, as you said, Jordan, there is some good news that there were some numbers going down a little bit, but it's a little bit early to tell. But I think you have to look at the situation overall, and what we do as Americans is continue to practice social distancing. That is critical. Continue also to be aware of our surroundings. If you see others that aren't, I'm telling people, be careful. I was on the phone with some friends of mine over the last couple of hours this morning, and we were talking about this, all different parts of the country, other lawyers that represent the president, some in New York and some in Manhattan, actually. And they said there it is outside of their apartments, it is literally a ghost town. So we need to be in prayer. We need to be smart. We need to understand that the season we're living in, I think the fact the president laid out, and he did, that to expect this next week or two to be really rough for the American people, then the Surgeon General saying, this is our 9/11, this is our Pearl Harbor moment, I think we need to be prepared for it.
Yeah, so we're taking your calls, folks, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And again, trying to answer your questions and to get updates from you across the country of how this is affecting you, whether it's affecting your business, your employment, and your family, and your health. 1-800-684-3110 as the country prepares for the toughest week yet in the fight, in the war against COVID-19. And we've also got a brand new case we're filing in Oklahoma in the federal court there, and that'll ultimately be the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals on behalf of 48 state legislatures. One of those legislators will join us later in the broadcast. It's a piece of legislation again, and this is a lawsuit to protect life of the unborn. So the ACLJ working hard throughout this pandemic, doing the work that we do. Find out more, ACLJ.org. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110.
It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at aclj.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at aclj.org. For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at aclj.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at aclj.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We encourage, if you're on Facebook and Periscope, to share this broadcast with your friends and family. I want to play that sound from the Surgeon General one more time. This is over the weekend on the Sunday show, so people realize, again, what the U.S. government officials are trying to brace us for as a nation. It may not be that it's, by the way, happening in your state, but it's the numbers that you will see of fellow Americans who fall to the coronavirus in this war against the virus. Take a listen to our U.S. Surgeon General.
I've talked to many of these governors, and here's what I would say to them right now. The next week is going to be our Pearl Harbor moment. It's going to be our 9/11 moment. It's going to be the hardest moment for many Americans in their entire lives. And we really need to understand that if we want to flatten that curve and get through to the other side, everyone needs to do their part.
All right, so I mean, there we go. Again, this idea of a Pearl Harbor moment. Wes Smith is joining us right now. He's joining us again from our military analyst team. And Wes, I just want to walk people through when our Surgeon General says, for most Americans, this will be something they have not experienced before, with this many American casualties, with something equivalent to like our Pearl Harbor moment. Something like 9/11, except for it'll be happening nationwide. Kind of explain that from a military perspective, what Americans should be bracing for. What are they trying to tell us through using this terminology?
Yeah, well, I think what they're trying to tell us is that generations from now, we will still be talking about this, much like we still talk about Pearl Harbor, almost as if it happened recently, and certainly 9/11 as well. And I want to be clear to all of our veterans listening, especially our combat veterans, this, and I've had two combat tours myself, this is not to minimize actual combat or the stark fear and confusion of being under direct enemy fire, those kinds of things. But for the country, for Americans as a culture, who normally most Americans don't serve in the military, they don't go to war. And yet we had tremendous ramifications after Pearl Harbor and after 9/11 that it affected the entire country. So I think the Surgeon General is correct. He is spot on. And that is for the country as a whole, not for the military alone, but for the country as a whole, including civilians and military people. This will be one of those stark moments, much like 9/11 and much like Pearl Harbor. And I will say this, Jordan, an enemy that you cannot see, such as this virus, is a lot more difficult to fight than an actual enemy that you can see on a battlefield. And the death toll right now is approaching 10,000 people in America, with the prediction that it could go as high as over 200,000. This is unheard of. And the casualty rate for this virus, and this is where the Surgeon General, I think his analogies are spot on, the casualty rate has the potential to exceed anything we've ever faced as a nation, other than maybe the casualties from the American Civil War or World War II. I mean, right now, Jordan, the casualty rate from this virus is three times that of the people we lost on 9/11 and three times the number of people that were killed at Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
In this, which we appreciate. But really, the frontline troops, if you will, are the first responders, the physicians, the nurses, the technologists, the folks that work in the hospital. They're on the front lines. And the president said it, and you've seen some of these pictures, like in New York City, where the fire department and the police departments will come out in front of the hospitals and applaud the doctors, nurses, techs, the folks that keep the hospital clean as they're walking into, as the president calls it, they are literally going to battle. So I think what Wes said is absolutely correct. It doesn't minimize anything about anybody else, but it is serious.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about a serious situation here, folks. I want to go to Than Bennett in Washington, D.C., because, Than, what Washington is looking at right now is, did the stimulus package, the COVID-19 relief fund, is that program working? Give people an update on that. I'd love to hear from people as well about actually, I know we have questions coming in about that, but an update just on generally the loan program. I know there were some hiccups with some, like Bank of America saying, we're not going to do this, we're not going to process it if you have not done business with us before, don't have a credit card with us before, or have never done a loan with us before. But there is some of the, again, the presidential power, that Defense Production Act, that can also get involved there and push the banks.
Yeah, and I think some of the reporting of those early hiccups was overblown, Jordan. I really do, because even after just one weekend of application of the Small Business Administration loans, almost 10% of the total available, the $350 billion, has already been applied for and at least conditionally approved, starting to go out the door. That's about $33 billion worth of funds heading to small businesses, also C3s, also churches. That was another question that was coming in over the weekend. And Jordan, I've got to tell you, the Treasury Department has done a wonderful job along with the Small Business Administration of being very clear that churches not only do qualify, Jordan, but they also do not lay down any of their First Amendment rights. They can still have their religious affiliations. The frequently asked question document that they put out over the weekend was extraordinarily helpful. And then also, Jordan, I thought it was also very important for the president to say what he did with how fast the funds are being applied for and actually sent out the door. He tweeted that he's going to immediately ask Congress for more money to support those small businesses under that program if the money runs out. Jordan, I think that's important because people are rushing to get those funds. But look, if they do run out, that was the purpose for which it's intended. And the president has already said to Congress, if it runs out, we're going to add more to it.
Let me say something else on that point, because, I want to thank, Than's done a really good job of getting this really clear. But let me tell you something else. And Jordan, you know this. Our team this weekend, in addition to putting these briefs together for the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals, also fielded a number of questions from churches that are applying for these loans, that are trying to get these loans. And in one case, Bank of America in particular was giving out incorrect information. And we were on the phone with churches in Florida. We were emailing till 11:30 last night, pastors in Nevada, in Las Vegas, in churches that we have worked with over the years. And we're, look, this is where ACLJ has to, where our flexibility is one of our strongest points. To be able to pivot from a Supreme Court case to loan applications for churches or other nonprofits is a big pivot point. Yeah. And that's exactly what we've done.
Absolutely. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Juanita calling in from Ohio on line 5. Juanita, welcome to JSecio Live. Hey, Juanita,
Hello?
You're on the air?
I am.
All right, looks like Juanita is not there. Let's go back to the phones. Joyce in Colorado on line 3. Joyce, welcome to JSecio Live. You're on the air.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Joyce, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Joyce is there, okay.
Yeah. Hi, guys. Thanks for everything you do. I just wanted to let you guys know how frustrated I am right here in Colorado, because you hear one thing from somebody else, and then you hear another thing from somebody else. I keep hearing that Trump has lied about all kinds of things, and I'm seeing everything different. My son-in-law is a first responder firefighter in Denver, and he now has to wear a mask at all times. It's just crazy. We are under basically lock and key. We can't go out. We're not supposed to go out for groceries or anything like that.
Well, this is, and listen, Dr. Birx has said be careful with the grocery stores and don't go to them this week. And don't go to the pharmacy. Go through the drive-thru if you have to. Here's the thing. We have to be really vigilant here. And the one thing that I have learned, and I work with the media, and I know you had in your question, you're frustrated with CNN, and I've got friends at CNN, and I know there's two CNN anchors that have the virus right now, Chris Cuomo and one other. And I will tell you this, though. What I don't like when I hear the press conferences, when the president starts talking about the hydroxychloroquine and the Z-Pak, which every doctor I've talked to said that's what they would do at this point. No, there's not been a randomized trial, but you're looking at major fatalities. You don't have time. Yeah. And it's like they're hoping it doesn't work. I'm not saying they are hoping it doesn't work, but that's almost the sense of it. That, you know, to turn this into a political moment would be a really bad thing for the country, in my view. We need to stay together. We need to pray together. We need to get through this as the American people and be strong. And what we're trying to do at the ACLJ through the media. Now, I'm remote today. Tomorrow, Jordan's going to be remote, and then we're going to be remote because we have to do that as these weeks come upon us. But we'll be broadcasting to you every day, is get information out. That's what we're going to do. And like I said, we fielded questions till 11:30 last night from pastors while we were working at 11:30 at night at a brief going to the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals.
All right, folks, when we come back, we're going to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Yes, we're working through how to go totally remote today, so we appreciate you helping us through that on the broadcast. We'll continue to take your phone calls as well, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And again, I encourage you, stay updated as well on our social media, aclj.org. That's aclj.org. That's a great place to go, a great resource to go. I can literally tell you that in the midst of everything happening right now, we just filed our emergency amicus brief. It's the third we have filed in just the last couple of weeks on behalf of 48 members of the Oklahoma State Legislature supporting their move to close abortion clinics during the COVID-19 pandemic. We're going to have one of those state legislatures on later in the broadcast. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live, taking your phone calls, your questions. Go to aclj.org.
For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at aclj.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at aclj.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at aclj.org. It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at aclj.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at aclj.org.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We're getting breaking news too out of the Sixth Circuit as well. I'll get to that in a moment as we have time to analyze that. But I want to go right to your phones, 1-800-684-3110, because people do have a lot of questions about this. Than, be ready as well. A lot of questions about the filings and about the stimulus checks. Let's go to Juanita in Ohio on line 5. Juanita, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Oh, thank you. You're doing a great job. My question is, do you know whether people who owe back taxes or student loans, will they be getting the check?
Yes. This is a stimulus. This is not interfered with your tax return or your refund. It will be, if you pay taxes or file tax returns, it'll be a direct deposit to your account. They say they may be, Fan, the last I heard, it could be showing up as early as this the end of this week.
Yeah, they're still officially saying 2 weeks for total all of those direct deposits. But you're right, Jay. They do expect those first ones to start hitting bank accounts, hopefully as soon as this weekend. I would just say to the caller, too, generally speaking, if you go to the homepage of the IRS, irs.gov, that's what they are asking people to do. They don't want inquiries because as of right now, there are no inquiries necessary. They're updating that page with the current status, and I'm looking at it literally right now. It says, do not call. Check back here. Four updates. But yeah, Jay, on the stimulus checks, they're working on getting those into bank accounts via direct deposit, literally as we speak.
All right. Again, we're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. I do want to let you know we filed our third emergency amicus brief. We filed just moments ago in Oklahoma. That is the 10th Circuit, but we filed actually at the district court level, Western District of Oklahoma. And this case is called Southwinds Women's Center and Comprehensive Health of Planned Parenthood Great Plains versus Governor Stitt. Governor Stitt is the governor of Oklahoma, and 48 state legislatures are represented by the ACLJ, include from the Senate and the House, including leadership from both chambers. I mean, we've got the Senate pro temp. We have the Senate majority floor leader, the House majority floor leader as well, and Senator Ballard there. Also, there's legislation being worked on by those state legislatures. Now, this is all the time when these states are battling COVID-19. They are still fighting that to protect life, and the ACLJ is right there filing these emergency amicus briefs. I mean, working on them throughout the weekend to get them filed on Monday morning.
I think I signed off on the brief. Ben Sisney sent it over to me last night at about 11:30.
Yeah.
At the same time, I was texting Logan, because we were working on a matter for a church out in Las Vegas. So, listen, this is just the nature of the way it's going to be while this pandemic is going on. We're going to be fighting where we can in the courts. A lot of it, obviously, is all electronic at this point. And then as matters come up that we can help churches or others and answer your questions, we're going to do that as well.
All right, back to the phones we go. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Stephen, calling from South Carolina on line 2. Stephen, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Hey, Stephen. Hey,
can you hear me?
Yes, Stephen, you're on the air.
Okay, I was just calling him in reference to the Paycheck Protection Program. We just was able to download the forms and fill them out on Friday, but they still have not been submitted yet. Our banks or my bank is telling me that, they haven't got all the ins and outs. And my concern was, as of Saturday, I was hearing that, $5 billion had already been dispersed. And now you all are saying $33 billion has been dispersed.
That's right. Now, Stephen, let me ask you this. This is a bank that your business does business with. So this is not a new relationship?
No, sir. This is, this is where I have my business accounts.
Okay. Is it a major bank?
Yes, it is.
Which one, if you don't mind?
BB&T, Truist, Sun.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so
BB&T.
They're one of the majors. Believe me. Okay, you need to get back in touch with them. They know exactly what they need to
do. You got to push. Dad, one thing we said is people have got to be their own advocates. Do not leave the bank. The forms are there, Than. It is the money is available. Do not leave until they've submitted the form, especially if you've got that. I mean, I'm not saying to be nasty, but be firm. This is your job. This is your protecting your business. And for a lot of people out there, if you're on the other side of this and you're looking for unemployment, think of getting that unemployment extension that's been expanded as your job right now. I mean, Than, people have got to be with it because it does take time for some of this to filter out. But oftentimes it's because this is more work for the bankers. Now, those folks should be happy they all have paid jobs right now. They're able to keep working to some extent. But at the same time, people have got to be their own advocates also.
Totally agree with that, Jordan. I would say a couple of things. First of all, I'm holding the form in my hand that has to be filled out, and it's the part that has to be filled out is only 2 pages long, and the second page is just certification. So it's really just 1 page long. It's not difficult to do. The numbers I quoted to you, Jordan, those are percentages of applicants received. Not all of that money has been dispersed yet. Like any loan, it does take some time. But I would say to the caller, and maybe to one of our previous callers as well, Jordan, here is one of the issues. This is by tens and tens fold more loans than these financial institutions are used to processing under the Small Business Administration. I have been through these regulations, and from the government side, pretty sound, Jordan. I mean, we're talking about good regulations, but you also do have to have a little bit of understanding here. A lot of these institutions, doesn't sound like the one our caller is talking about, but a lot of these institutions are doing these types of loans, Jordan, for the very first time. So I think your advice is the sound one. Know what this information is when you go in. Have your application and understand that that officer processing the loan, Jordan, it might be the very first time they've done a loan of this kind. So be persistent.
Persistent, but not nasty.
Correct.
You know that you're correct that this loan is available and that you should be able to put forward your application. And Than, that's the key here is people have applied for $33 billion that has not been dispersed yet.
That's right. And it is up to $349 billion under that particular part of the program. There's some other ancillary programs available as well. And again, don't panic. I know you need the funds soon, but the president has said if they do reach that amount, which is 10 times the amount of applications they've received so far, Jordan, if they do reach that cap, he's going to ask for it to be extended. So you still have time. Just know what the program is. Go in with the form filled out and be persistent.
Let me tell you this also, Jordan, that you said is very important. Don't be angry with these banks.
No.
They are confused.
Yeah.
A lot of them, as Than just said, have never done this before. So what we want to have happen here is for you to be persistent, though. For instance, Bank of America issued earlier in the week, last week, that if you hadn't, even if you were a customer, if you hadn't taken out a loan, we were not going to process this, which would defeat the entire purpose of the payroll protection. That was, right. You know, right. So again, but they corrected it by the weekend. So what I would tell our last caller, as I told pastors this weekend, go back online, do it. They'll submit it. This has been a pretty flawless process when you're talking about government cranking this up literally in a week.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that for the most part, again, we will start seeing the disbursement, and that will be the second part of this. The first part is applications. Getting through some of those, and it looks like the hiccups aren't on the side of the government. It's not the government website. It's not the government forms. It's just on the businesses, the banks, getting up to speed and getting their staff up to speed. Then it'll be up to those that are accepted, the applications that make it through, how long it takes to disperse those funds. And you know President Trump is concerned about getting that to you as quickly as possible. He has talked about that a lot. He's had some briefings just on the economic impact of this. We'll continue to take your phone calls second half hour coming up. I encourage you, check out ACLJ.org as we file today. And again, this is the third filing we've made on behalf of these states that have decided to say that Planned Parenthood and these elective abortion clinics are not essential businesses during the COVID-19 shutdown of non-essential businesses. We're going to take your calls, your comments. We come back second half hour, Jay Sekulow Live.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
We are warned of a Pearl Harbor moment. We've talked about that, something akin to 9/11, but nationwide. Now, again, you're going to experience this differently this week, where you're going to see significant jump predicted. By the way, we're not the ones predicting this. It's the doctors predicting this. It's the healthcare public health officials predicting that you're going to see a significant jump in the number of deaths of Americans. And what that means is that you may be hitting the peak. So you're going to start coming down from that curve if we continue this mitigation. But when you hit the peak and you hit that top number of deaths, remember, when you come down, that means the next day, if the top day is 2,500 or 3,000 people dying in one day, as some of these reports are talking about by midweek, we're going to see a number like that. Then remember, the next day, as you're coming down, as you hope to come down, and you hope that's the peak, the next day is still in the 2,500 plus if you hit 3,000. So, I mean, you've got days is what I think they're talking about, Dad, where Americans have got to prepare for this number potentially to go up much higher than it is right now, just to under 10,000. Yeah.
So what you're going to look for is when you look, it's not a inverted V peak. It's not like it hits and then just crashes.
Right.
So it peaks and then we try to level it out. Now, during that leveling out process, as Jordan said, if you had 3,000 fatalities on a day that it peaks and then the next day it's 2,700, that's still a lot of people.
A lot of people, yep.
So, you know, we just got to brace ourselves for this. But, you know, Jonathan, let's take caller one because I want to say something about this because I saw a lot of it this week and I was very pleased to see.
Yep. Jonathan in Arizona on line one. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, Jonathan.
How you guys doing?
Great.
I'm just calling because I was hearing about what you guys were talking about Pearl Harbor and like the season we are in. And I was sitting here and I was reading the Word of God and like the scripture came up to my mind for everybody to hear it is the Joshua 1:9. Have I not command you, be strong and good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And I just want to like let everybody know that we got to hang on to God because God sees us through this. And God knows what he's doing. Because
yeah, you're exactly correct. And let me tell you this. I want to talk to pastors, other faith leaders. The technology utilization over the last 3 weeks has been phenomenal, and I want to offer a thank you to the pastors and the churches and the other houses of worship that have reached out on these issues to try to reach their parishioners in the, you know, in the, using the internet, using social media. It's been very, very impressive. And again, and some pastors, I mean, I know they've had the drive-in churches. I mean, people are being really creative. The maintaining of social distancing, of course, is critical. But the fact that the church is not just a building is also important to understand here.
Absolutely. And I think that you've seen that from churches across the country, from various denominations, from both the Protestant denominations, the Catholic Church, other religious faiths are utilizing this technology. And we're seeing it across the country in places where outbreaks are hitting harder and outbreaks where, the outbreak may not be hitting as hard. I mean, we got this interesting call, and we'll take that when we come back from the break. It's out of Kansas, where, again, the outbreak may not be hitting as hard. So it's, you know, people look out their own door and they see their own local news. It may not add up to what the national news is talking about. And I get that. So I think it's important to put this into scope. When they talk about a Pearl Harbor kind of moment, they mean nationwide we experience as a country. And it doesn't mean that necessarily you're going to experience where you live what New York City is experiencing. But you want to make sure that you don't have outbreaks and on a smaller scale, maybe by number. But outbreaks that in your community would be just as significant in a sense of the stress it would put on the infrastructures as well, because you may not have as many hospitals as New York and healthcare workers, ventilators and things like that. So that's why this is, again, a very important week to do your part in the mitigation. I mean, the mitigation part is the key to this whole curve idea. 1-800-684-3110. Phone lines are busy. We're going to keep taking your phone calls. That's 1-800-684-3110. 3110. I encourage you also throughout this, check out aclj.org, our Facebook pages, the Jay Sekulow Facebook page, the Jordan Sekulow Facebook page, our Instagram accounts. I know people have got a little bit more time with social media. We've got a lot of information posted there, so check it out. We'll be right back on the broadcast.
It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at ACLJ.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at ACLJ.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at ACLJ.org. For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at ACLJ.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at ACLJ.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at ACLJ.org.
I want to get right to the phones. We've got a guest out of Oklahoma. It is the majority floor leader in the state house there, is joining us in the final segment of the broadcast, because we're representing 400 Oklahoman state legislators who are represented by the ACLJ in emergency filing. We just filed while we're on the air. As my dad talked about, it was just until late last night approving this filing on behalf of, again, the state there, the governor there deciding to deciding that these abortion clinics are not essential businesses for the purposes of these stay-at-home orders, and when they have to decide what businesses close and what can remain open, that right. Places that perform elective abortions are not considered essential. So, of course, those are heading into federal court immediately. We're on this one at the very entry level of the court case, at the district court level. So the majority leader will be joining us. John Echols, majority floor leader of the Oklahoma House of Representatives, will be joining us in the next segment. So I want to go right to the phone calls, go in order. People have been on the line. Jerry in Rhode Island on line 4. Jerry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hello, team. Great prayer, sua sponte prayer last week.
Thanks.
Jay, you had me on my knees, and we know the positive effect of prayer from the Pastor Brunson situation. Colonel West was talking about Pearl Harbor, and students of history remember the days and weeks after Pearl Harbor, we had lost and lost and lost, and it wasn't until Doolittle Raid and then Corsi and then Midway, but it took weeks as they converted the lines. You couldn't buy a new car from 41 to 46 because they turned around to make tanks and planes. The Pearl Harbor moment, it's going to take a little time, but we're already starting to see things, and that's the historical point I wanted to put there.
Now, Jerry, I think you raised a really important point, and the president has, when necessary, utilized the DPA to move that forward. Now, Thane, he just hasn't had to use it all the time, but let's tell people why it's there, because he had to use it with 3M recently.
Yeah, it's there so that if he needs to get the emergency equipment quickly, he can compel private industry to do it. But, Jay, I mean, we have said this on this broadcast many times. Part of the reason he hasn't had to do it very frequently is because he was very careful to bring those industries in early on and get their cooperation voluntarily. And look, I would just say, even though it's the examples like 3M that come to light in the media, and the president did use the DPA to get them to do what he needed them to do, in most cases, Jay, private industry has been more than willing and, in fact, eager to partner with the federal government to do this. I don't think that would have been the case if private industry hadn't been brought in on the front side. So you're actually using the DPA appropriately if you're only using it when you absolutely have to.
So, you know, it's interesting to point out, too, when we're talking about these peaks and these numbers, that nationwide, the New York peak is supposed to be this week, and with about 800 deaths in one day. is what they're looking at sometime midweek. Nationwide, the peak is actually predicted to hit a week from this Thursday, and that is when they would be looking at over 3,000 deaths in one day nationwide. So again, we are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-31. Tim, I just want to update you as we get that information.
Yeah, let me also say something about that. That you got to be flexible on understanding dates, because it could be off a couple of days. It could be delayed a week or two. It already has been, and it's just the way the wave of this goes. So what you may see today, and I want to take caller six on this point, what you'd see in New York today, what we're trying to hope that happens, is we don't see an exact duplication of that in New Orleans or Detroit or other hotspots. That's what the idea is here, not to see that, but this thing's going to roll out at different parts of the country. So in one sense, we say a Pearl Harbor moment. Remember, the only people that were the fatalities in Pearl Harbor were the ones in Pearl Harbor, but it affected the rest of the country. That's what the Surgeon General was trying to say.
Yeah, Eric in Kansas on line six. Eric, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Greetings. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, I've been seeing a lot online about people going to hospitals and they're empty in these areas where we're being told that they're packed and overwhelmed. And people are walking around outside filming what's going on, walking in. And I'm wondering, how can this be? What's really going on?
Well, let me dispel that myth for you real clear, okay? The areas where it's hot areas, and you just said, Eric, is this information that you've seen online or somewhere that people are saying areas that are hot, in other words, where the virus is out there, that this hospitals are empty? Is that what you're saying?
New York.
Okay, they are not. That is a complete falsehood. Now, let me be clear. We've moved a Navy ship that has beds for 1,000 people that they're now taking COVID patients. We took the Javits away. The federal government took the Javits Center, 2,500 hospital beds, because the hospitals were already overwhelmed. Let me tell you from doctors I have spoken to in Atlanta, in Nashville, in Memphis, in other parts of the country. A friend of mine was talking to doctors in Texas, who's another one of the president's lawyers. Let me tell you what these doctors are saying. Overwhelmed with the number of cases they're seeing. So someone's giving you some really bad advice.
Yeah, I think, again, there's conspiracy theories throughout. And a lot of that, again, if you're in an area, maybe in Kansas right now, where he's calling in, that you're not feeling it as much, you haven't had those kind of outbreaks, that may seem true. But I mean, look at the actual news. You know, turn on Fox, turn on different networks, and you will see the same imagery. And it is hospitals full. You will see those morgue trucks, which is a pretty harrowing sight to see how many bodies they are having to prepare for at each day, and that they're having to put stacks in those trucks, those cooling trucks, because they don't have enough regular kind of to go through this the process. The funeral homes are packed. So, again, I mean, it is not everywhere in the country, but it is in a lot of places. And where it is hitting in those places is very serious. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Gloria calling it about the numbers issue on the economic side in California on line three. Gloria, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Gloria.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for all you do there. I work until 2017, not the whole year. Yep. So I haven't filed for the 2018, and neither I'm going to do that in 2019. But I'm on my Social Security right now for a little more than a year. So what should I expect? Do you think I'm still going to get that check?
I think you should. I think you will get the check, because it should be automatic in that point.
Yeah, good news for Gloria here. The Treasury Department has said that they will use Social Security Administration. So, Gloria, if you are set up with direct deposit for your Social Security benefits, you will get the stimulus check that way. And even if you're not, you will still get it. You would just get it through a paycheck in the mail, and it might be a few days behind. But you're not going to be one of those people that has to file an additional tax filing. They are going to use your Social Security information to get that money to you.
All right, folks, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Scott calling from South Carolina online, too. Another one of those kind of questions. Scott, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, how you doing? Yep. Thank you for everything you do.
Yes,
yeah, what I was wondering is, I've already filed my taxes and making up my returns from 2019.
Right.
But I've never got my return checks any other way than through the mail, and then go to the bank and endorse.
Then you're gonna get it. Then you'll get it through the mail. That's what'll happen in a situation like that, unless they have his checking account information.
Yeah, he's going to get it in the mail. Might take a couple of days longer, but whatever way you most recently got a check from the IRS, that's the one they'll use for this as well.
Hey, Jordan, let's take caller five.
All right, Mike in Kansas on Live 5. Mike, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, guys. I'd like to thank you for what you're doing, and also I'd like to say I'm a supporter of ACLJ.
Mike, I want to say something to you before you ask your question. I want to thank you because you're on the front lines of this. You're a truck driver, so the logistical moves right now are critical.
Yes, sir, they are. And I tell you what, it's getting tougher and tougher. Loads are slowing down. That's the question I have as an owner-operator. I'm working with my loan company right now, and they're awesome. They're giving us a three-month layoff right now for truck payments, and then it could go further. It depends on how long this goes.
Do you have your own business, Mike? Are you your own company
as a truck driver? I'm leased on to a company. I own my own truck, but I'm leased on to a company.
You're going to get the payroll protection bonuses as long as you fall within those. Are you married?
Yes.
So if you fall under basically $200,000, you'll get those. And then your company, the freight company you work for, can apply for different loan programs as well to keep things going. And the president just said over the weekend he will extend that even more if necessary. Yeah. We're going to keep the truckers on the ground. It's important to keep the logistics moving.
But, Dad, those companies would be treated, so the company he's loaned on to, like he said, would be treated just like any other small business, or if it's a larger business, there's funds for them too. If it's a small under 500, then it would be treated just like any other small business and be able to apply for those loans to keep people like Mike on the payroll. And Mike already talked about, I think he's just talking about there, he's working with his, and this is something to point out, is that if you're in that business situation, it's talking to, like he talked about his truck loan payments. Go directly to where you got your loans. If you're paying, your payments for your business, things like that. And a lot of them are extending the time period out because they don't want you to default. They don't need that right now. They need you to be back on in business in a month or two or three and making the payments again. That's what they would hope. That's best for their business too. But it does take talking to them, or you'll just get the automatic payment request. So you do need to go out and do some due diligence, and we encourage folks to do that. When we come back, we'll take some more of your phone calls as well, but we do have joining us a very special guest, the majority floor leader of the Oklahoma House of Representatives, John Echols, as we just filed in another pro-life case out in Oklahoma. While we were on the air, the amicus brief on behalf of 48 legislators was actually filed. We'll be right back on Jay Secchio Live.
For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at aclj.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at aclj.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at aclj.org. It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at aclj.org.
www.gift.org. Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at aclj.org.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are joined by a very special guest, the majority floor leader of the Oklahoma House of Representatives, John Eccles, who has helped us lead an effort to build a team of 48 members of the Oklahoma State Legislature, both the Senate and the House. The ACLJ is representing in a brief we filed today supporting the governor of Oklahoma, Governor Stitt's decision to decide that these Planned Parenthood and other abortion clinics are not essential businesses. Remember, they perform elective abortions for purposes of these COVID-19 shutdowns. So I want to thank Majority Floor Leader Eccles for joining us today. Representatives, it's great to have you on the broadcast. Thank you.
Man, it's wonderful to be on the program with you. Love what you guys do, and it's a real honor. Listen to you for a long time. Real honor to be on with you.
Now, I know, Representative Eccles, you've worked with one of our attorneys, Ben Sisney, before in the past. You've been in the State House since 2012. We're going to talk to you about this. We're going to talk to you about also what's happened in the state with COVID-19. But first, let me just ask you about the decision. And you're joining a lot of other states here, but your governor's decision, which you're joining other Alabama, Arkansas, Idaho, Indiana, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, Nebraska, Ohio, South Dakota, South Carolina, Texas, Tennessee, Utah, and West Virginia have all filed also in support of what your governor did. Now you're filing in support of what your governor did. Tell people about the action that was taken.
Well, we're really excited to have the support of the ACLJ and all that you've done, and both you guys and Ben Sisney, dear friend of mine. I'm sorry we lost him in Oklahoma, but it is absolutely the ACLJ's gain. The bottom line is abortion is not an essential service. I mean, in a time where we're spending all this time trying to save a human life, the idea that we would use PPE and other medical supplies to take a human life is just the antithesis of what we should be doing. Even as somebody like me who doesn't believe abortion is a constitutional right, even people that believe that, let's say you're on the other side, and I say all the time, you have a right to be wrong, and that's your right, but they're still wrong. But let's say you believe that. There are limits. And right now, when throughout the nation, we have healthcare shortages for healthcare personnel, we have shortages of PPE throughout the nation, using it for an elective surgery like abortion, it's reprehensible. And I'm very excited to have the ACLJ's support and leadership with Oklahoma and all the other states you listed kind of leading that charge. That's what we need to be doing right now.
Representative, this is Jay Sekulow. I wanted to ask you about your situation regarding COVID-19 in Oklahoma. How do you see things now? How are the hospitals doing? What's been the medical situation on the ground right now?
So Oklahoma is in a much better state than the states around us. We are growing every day. I get the updates from I put out updates from the House and the Department of Health. We've been holding steady at about 4 deaths a day. We've moved to 5 at this point. Our hospitals at this moment are not overcrowded. But the governor has done a really good job of having, he calls it a safer at home. It's functionally the same as a shelter in place. There's some kind of, the media is messing that up a little bit. But essentially it does the same thing. If we keep going down this path, I think Oklahoma has a possibility of avoiding a massive surge that overrides our healthcare system. We're not experiencing that now, but we're still in exponential growth phase, Jay. And I tell people, I think we're probably about 2 weeks behind Colorado, which is in much worse shape than we are. And depending upon what happens, kind of like what the president said and the Surgeon General said, this next week is going to be critical for the entire nation, and Oklahoma is no exception.
Yeah, let me ask you too, because Oklahoma still gets listed as a state that, like, the governor's taken no action. And I want to, we've talked to a lot of state officials through across the country. This was happening in Florida up until last week too. And the truth is, you do have what is effectively a stay-at-home, shelter-in-place order, but yet it's, I guess, the semantically they don't want to report it that way, and so they want to include Oklahoma as one of these states that hasn't done anything to keep people. And you've also had the non-essential businesses closed as well.
Well, that's exactly right. Oklahoma, the governor's called it safer at home, and the governor has done it in waves, which I think was smart. It was an Oklahoma-centered plan. As soon as we started having community spread, and that's what people need to understand, prior to this pandemic, ordering a shelter in place prior to community spread, that spread where you can't trace it as coming from outside the community, that was unheard of. So as soon as we had community spread, the governor ordered what's called safer at home, over 65 and otherwise at risk, stay home in counties where it was in. And then the governor has moved on to ordering both over 65 were at risk, stay home, and all non-essential businesses are shut down in all 77 counties. That's the very definition of shelter in place. I'm a little frustrated with some of the, about half the news articles say we've done something, about half the news articles say we haven't. Now, there can be a debate that's going on all over this country about whether or not we're doing enough, whether or not any individual state is doing enough. But I say all the time, when you're in the middle of the crisis, hey, I'm an Oklahoman, so forgive this analogy, but we got to ride the horse we brought to the rodeo. That's the bottom line. So while we're in the middle of this crisis, we need to do the very best we can to protect our people, and I think our governor is doing that. That's also why during the last poll that just came out, he has a 69% approval rating in the state for how he's handling the crisis.
Go ahead, Dad.
Yeah, I was going to say something because you said that you're kind of moving as the situation moves. I'll never forget getting so much flack from the media on a statement I made during the Mueller nonsense back 2 years ago when I said, you know, facts develop because what's a fact today, X amount of fatalities, is not the same fact tomorrow, or the growth rate today is not the same growth rate of the... So they're both facts. It's just as time evolves, facts develop differently. And that's where I think that people that are mischaracterizing what's taken place are falling fault. Let me ask a direct question here on this brief. So Planned Parenthood has been the aggressor here. We're now in three circuit courts on this. We've got 48 members of your House and your Senate collectively. John, you said you're pro-life, obviously. Is there this sense among your colleagues that don't share your position that they think Planned Parenthood should get a pass when people aren't able to get heart surgery right now if it's an elective?
I love the way you ask that. You can't get heart surgery. You can't get knee replacements. All these other things. I think there's a group. There's an abortion cult that just believes somehow abortion is sacrosanct. And I think the vast majority of my colleagues, I think more than the 48. Would have signed on. It's just difficult because we have not been in session to get everybody. And I think we have far more that are pro-life. I think Oklahoma is an overwhelmingly pro-life state. And on top of this, you just made the argument, this is not outlawing abortion for all time, which is something I would do if I was capable of, but I'm not. And this is not what this is. This is saying you can't put it on a pedestal above other medical procedures. And by the way, this is non-emergent abortions. This is not a tubal pregnancy or something like that.
Right.
These are elective. By definition, they're elective. So, no, I think it's a cult mentality that somehow raises it to this sacrosanct. And again, throughout the nation, we need the PPE and the nursing personnel.
All right, folks, let me thank Representative Echols for joining us today. For one, the update on Oklahoma battling COVID-19, and getting through some of the media misreporting there, and also just thanking him for, at a time when the legislature there is not together, putting forward this coalition of 48 members of the State House and State Senate led by him. He's the majority floor leader, John Echols of Oklahoma. A big thanks to him so that we could, as the ACLJ, represent those 48 members and file in court today. While we were on the air, the brief was actually filed in the Western District of Oklahoma. So thank you, Representative Echols, for all of you out there listening. Again, we were praying for you. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Jay Sekulow Live.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge.
For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.